I was 37 years old when I became a doctor, and until then, I had a normal life. I didn't stick my finger in the rectum of an elderly stranger after meeting them for just 5 to 10 minutes. I didn't tell a group of people to stop doing CPR. And I didn't see things like miscarriages, you know, seemingly all the time. I saw these things on TV like everybody else, but I didn't really see firsthand, you know, all the ways that a body can just fall apart. And now, on a pretty daily basis, I'm familiar with more ways to get sick, die, or be maimed than I could ever have imagined. And yeah, one of these days, one of those ways can happen to me. A couple of years ago, while I was still a resident, my wife Amy got pregnant for the first time, and I immediately prepared for the worst. While she was doing the work of being pregnant, my contribution was to remind her to keep her expectations low. At one point, she politely told me that, you know, it might not be such a bad idea to keep some of those thoughts to myself. You know, like, what would be the worst thing about, like, not sharing everything? Luckily, she had a healthy baby boy who I actually helped deliver in my own hospital at Maimonides. And he's 3 years old now, and he has no idea how many stitches and broken bones he has avoided also with my help. During that first pregnancy, we both waited the customary 12 weeks before telling anybody about it, which I explained to her is because miscarriages are really common in the first 3 months. Common, but unspoken, because for some reason people don't like to be morbid. About maybe 2 to 4 times a month, I take care of a newly pregnant patient who has started bleeding. And in some of those cases, I do the ultrasound myself. And if I don't see a heartbeat, I'm the one who breaks the news. I usually use the word fetus or embryo because those are easier to lose than a baby. And then I spend some time with them as they process the news. In the back of my mind, I know there's a handful of other patients who also need me on one of the worst days of their life. Amy told me later that those 12 weeks of secrecy were some of the loneliest times of her life. It turns out it's pretty hard to keep a secret that big for 3 months. And keeping that secret insulated her from the excitement that she wanted to share with everybody, and also from the support she might have gotten if things had gone south. So for her second pregnancy this past January, she told everybody, even before the ultrasound had confirmed it. And I was with her at that first ultrasound visit. There was a big TV screen broadcasting images of her uterus. And we saw that flicker of a heartbeat, which was impossible to miss. I mean, it was like a lighthouse in the dark. On the way home, I let it slip that technically it's not a heartbeat. It's just like a bundle of cells that will eventually become a heart later on. That was an effort to, you know, protect us from disappointment in case things went wrong. But to be honest, you know, I wasn't really even listening to myself because I was already naming, using the name of my grandfather if it was going to be a boy. And I think we were both excited to use, you know, the name that we had planned for our first kid if he had been a girl. I knew that, you know, grief is the price of hope, but I couldn't help being hopeful. 10 days later, she started to bleed, and we went back to the OB's office for a second ultrasound appointment, and I was able to see before she did that the heartbeat was gone. They told us it was not our fault. They told us that the chromosomes were probably not going to be viable anyway. And over the next couple days, she had more bleeding and cramping than she'd ever had in her life. But here's the thing, she wasn't alone. She told her mom, and she told my mom about the miscarriage, and we both learned for the first time in our lives that her mom and my mom had also had miscarriages. And when she told her coworkers and friends, some of whom she's very close to, she also learned for the first time that they had had the same experience. So, you know, in other words, there was this community of people waiting to be formed if only they knew about it and could talk about it. When she first told me about that pregnancy, she actually handed me that little plastic pregnancy test, which for some reason I held on to. I found it hard to throw away. And I'm not sure why I kept it for so long. I think it was the only thing that really made the pregnancy seem real in that early stage. And after the miscarriage, it was a little hard for me to throw it out because it felt like if I threw it out, that would be the official end of whatever life we had made. But we're good now. She's much better. And events like these are a really good reminder tonight that there's a lot of stuff that we all hold on to, and there's a lot of relief in talking about it and letting go. You know, stories can take on a life of their own when they're told and then shared and shared and shared. There are many kinds of life.